Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Bing bong, 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 bing bong. Are you ready now?
You know I'm ready.
Okay, he was born ready.
I was certainly not born ready. No. I feel like I'm never ready, but for this I am.
Excellent. We do have a serious washing problem in our house. Anyway, enough of that.
There's a rat of dishwashing powder.
I know that. We might have to go to a sneaky hospital run.
We might.
I meant.
This is an emergency.
Run into the call triple.
Drop what you're doing. I need you to go into the hospital staff room. I need you to open the drawer next to the dishwasher. I need washing powder, not pellets. Our machine only takes powder.
Thank you. I know that we're in the middle of a pandemic, but nothing is more important than clean dishes, as my pappy always said.
That's what he used to say.
Anywho. We didn't even have a dishwasher half the time. Anyway.
Half the time?
Oh, well, no, we did have a dishwasher eventually in the 2000s, but like the 90s we didn't.
No?
No.
What did you used to wash? Yes, but we mostly hand washed stuff anyway.
Yeah, well, so did we. We mostly hand washed.
Parents' ways of torturing kids, I think. I don't know. Anyway, we're still washing dishes regardless. There's some things just can't go in there.
That totally can. Anyway, as riveting as that is, let's get on with the show. Man. Welcome to Suggestible Pod. I'm Claire. James is here also. We are married and we recommend you stuff to watch, read and listen to.
We do, don't we?
We do. And I'm really excited this week, James. You're really going to love my recommendations.
I bet I'm not.
Like, you're going to love them. You're going to love them so much and mwah, 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 you want to make out with them.
Oh, wow. Now I'm excited.
No, make out with me. Don't be ridiculous.
No, I know. I'm making out with the ideas that you bring. I think that's very sexy.
How gross would it be if you just did a podcast where it was just making out with people?
I'm pretty sure that's ASMR. Just like the... That's gross. I have
no, ASMR is
no,
more...
ASMR is anything.
Oh,
it's
really?
Anything, yeah.
Oh, because I only like the ones where it's a travel agent and she's like,
oh, yeah.
Welcome. To the Hogwarts.
Do you ever do the ones where
agency?
It's like the travel agent, but it's the future or whatever?
No.
It's like you're going on a space flight. They do it all. They're really creative. There's some really creative people in there. But have you ever heard of a mukbang?
Oh, God.
It's not
no?
as bad as you think, but
that
also it's bad.
It's
a thing where people go, like, they'll just sit down and they'll have like a whole like table full of food and they'll just like eat it on mic and on camera. People love it. That to me is like, ugh.
Torture.
There's ones where like that make me really want to gag. I couldn't get through it, even though it was like I think it was like a video of somebody like talking about it where somebody was like had a giant crab and was like breaking it apart and like sucking all the innards of the crab out. And I'm like, oh, like I'm not very squeamish, but
no.
I was like, fuck this. I cannot get and it was a video about somebody being like, this is gross. And I'm like, I can't watch this.
This is gross.
This is gross.
Oh, yeah, gross. Because you have to kind of snap things off. And
yeah, and just like the claw. It was just, it was so gross.
But that's why I never liked the Australian MasterChef. I used to love that show. And then at a certain point, there were three judges. Mm. And by the end, it really started to bother me because when they got served food by the contestants, they would then kind of proceed to hunch over it and go.
Yeah. And to be fair, like to make it worse, I used to do the sound effects where you'd be like.
Yeah.
Like I just actually, do that like the whole time.
Actually, I think
guys just
you've
like
transposed
slathering
that sound into my memory. Because actually they don't really
just
make
like
it
dabbing
bad.
Their mouths with like handkerchiefs afterwards.
Matt Preston
the greasy mouths. It's gross.
Anyway, the new judges are fantastic.
Better now, it's way better.
Yeah.
Anyway,
you can go first this week.
Oh my God, I would love to go first because what I've looked at this week is I went and saw Raya and the Last Dragon. I went to a Disney premiere, Claire.
Ooh, with our son.
That. I did. I took him along and the whole way he was like, why aren't we there yet? And I'm like, because we're driving there. And then we got there, we had to line up. And he's like, why are we lining up? And I'm like, because we've got to go inside. And then when we got inside, you know, they give you a popcorn and a free drink at these premieres sometimes.
Oh, my goodness.
And then he's like, why are we standing at the front? And I'm like, this process, we can't just walk in. There's like several steps. ended up and he's like, ah! But anyway, he really liked it. So it was directed by Carlos Lopez Estrada and Don Hall.
Oh.
Right? So it's a mostly Asian-American cast and the story is Southeast Asian-inspired adventure. It's like, it's a fictional land and whatever. So basically the idea is, first of all, it's got Kelly Marie Tran, who people would know as she's from The Last Jedi, and then to a lesser extent that follow-up movie where she had like two lines of dialogue in that not very good Star Wars sequel. Some people say The Last Jedi is not very good, but I say it is very good. That's neither here nor there. But it's got Awkwafina, it's got Gemma Chan, it's got Daniel Day-Kim, who people might know from Lost.
Ooh.
So basically it was a world where – I'm going to explain this badly, but there was a world where there was dragons, right? And the dragons had to – they did this thing where they got rid of all the dark –
Why are you doing that squished up old man face
and I've got my hands
do.
In the air because I'm trying to picture it in my mind. So there was too many – there was a lot of dragons. They were good dragons. They were protecting the kingdom of where they lived, right? But then there was like these dark, globby forces kind of take things over. So the dragons like managed to drive them back. But in doing so, the dragons themselves were eliminated. So there's only one dragon left and that dragon using like this dragon gemstone to – but then the dragon – then it's like 500 years later, but the kingdom's been divided, right?
This feels into very different... complicated.
Yeah, it is a bit complicated. And then it's a bit like Avatar The Last Airbender, because I briefly talked about this on The Week of the Planet, but I can talk about it probably now because the embargo's up. So, so the kingdom, it's divided now 500 years ago, and then the crystal gets shattered. They're like, oh, no, the crystal gets shattered. And then all the darkness comes out of the earth, and it's like, nah, 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 nah. And this girl called Raya has to, like, unite the pieces of the crystal because the googly monsters, when they touch people, they turn them to stone. And so everybody's been turned to stone, and she has to go through the kingdoms and, like, meet people on the way and find the last dragon and also bring the crystal back together. And every time the dragon touches the crystal, it gives it a brand new dragon power. And it's about like friendships and trust and unity and magic and mostly about like – it's mostly about friend. It's mostly about trusting people and basically like you're different than me, but hey, let's work together. Let's put aside our differences for a common good. Like in a pandemic, say, for example, which is – yeah. So but it's sort of like a pandemic, but it's big googly monsters. And it's a better tier of, like, animated movie. For me, it was better than Frozen 2, but wasn't as good for me as Moana, which I love. Like, I love Moana.
Oh, yeah. I mean, part of that is to do with the soundtrack of Moana.
Yes, and this doesn't have songs in the way that Moana does. But if you've got kids, it's good for kids and it's one of the, it's a pretty solid
and
it
seems like
story.
It's good for like 37-year-old men too.
Yeah, true. It's true. And look, to be fair, like I didn't love it. Like it didn't like blow me away.
But do you love much?
I loved Moana when I saw it.
Right.
Yeah, I really liked Moana.
I didn't realize you loved it that much.
Still love Moana. I think it's fantastic.
Right. How do you compare that to say a Toy Story or a Lion King?
See, it's hard because I saw those as kids. So it's like when I was a kid. So it's kind of hard to compare. Like I love both of those movies, but. I think Moana is genuinely one of, like, the all-time best animated movies ever.
The animation is spectacular.
Yes, but that's like, not, it's like, it's not just that. It's, like, the music and the culture and, like, it's cast really well and there's some really funny, clever songs in it. And it's
and Moana herself is just a great
character. Yeah, she's amazing.
Character.
And it's got like, a great story and finale and I found it really moving in a way that this isn't as much. But it's still very good. And there was a short movie beforehand about dancing, and which I think you would have really liked.
Oh, my goodness. I wish I could have come. I would have loved that. Now, interesting, you say it's better than Frozen 2. I wonder what I will think when I go and see it because, as you know, we have very different opinions about Frozen 2. And I changed Ben.
You did.
Ben's mind.
I was like, I don't like
my goodness.
Frozen 2. And he was like, I agree. But then he watched a bunch of behind-the-scenes stuff and he listened to you talk about it. And he's like, actually, I love Frozen 2. I think it's amazing. So you turned Ben around on Frozen 2.
I totally did. Ben happens to be one of our wonderful editors.
That's right.
He
does Caravan of Garbage
channel.
And other stuff.
And lots of things. But, he's wonderful.
He is. He really is.
Yes. And I changed his mind, which makes me think he's an excellent bloke. Okay. Well, that sounds awesome.
Yeah,
and I
cool.
definitely will see it. So where can people watch it?
That's at movies. The movies
at the
now.
Movies.
Yep.
Oh, cool.
But also it's coming to streaming Disney. If it's not now, I think it might be now already.
All right.
If you can't, I think it might be same day.
Okay,
so,
cool.
So you can watch it here at home.
Excellent. Gosh, the pandemic has totally changed the way films are coming out.
Certainly has.
Really interesting.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
James, it's an ad. It's an ad time.
One of my favorite ads, Claire, if you don't mind me saying.
Stop talking.
No. Listen. Listen to me. Listen.
Oh, good. Okay.
My favorite ads are the ones that you do, Claire, that you read.
Oh, that's so, you're being so nice to me. You always am so suspicious.
You should be.
But I am good at reading ads, so here I go. We have ExpressVPN this week. You know what's not fair, James? The fact that Netflix hides thousands of shows and movies from you based on your location.
It's criminal.
And then has the nerve.
The gall.
To increase their prices on you.
The stones on these blokes.
So many stones. The stones. Stones as in balls. It's a good band.
Like, I'm saying stones as in like the size of these guys' balls to be like they can do this.
Oh, yeah, I don't understand why. Anyway, let's not talk about balls during our ad.
I agree.
Good Lord, let's keep going. That's right. They've just raised their prices once again.
Typical.
The stones on these guys.
That's what I'm saying.
Now you could, now you could just cancel your subscription in protest.
Yeah, maybe.
Or you could be smart about it and make sure you're getting your full money's worth by using ExpressVPN like we do. See, you might not know that what's on Netflix in your country is completely different from what someone in the UK or Japan has on theirs.
I know.
Using ExpressVPN, I can control which country I want Netflix to think I'm in. ExpressVPN has over 90 countries to choose from, so every time I ran out of stuff to watch, I just switch to another country to unlock new shows. Right now, I'm watching – what are you watching on Netflix?
Oh, I'll tell you something that's awesome about Netflix. Actually, there's one that I'm going to talk about at the show. It's called New Amsterdam. It's a hospital series.
Ooh.
It's on Australian Netflix. But also, like, if you're overseas, if you're the Netflix shows of The Office and Parks and Rec, they've moved to a separate streaming platform. But if you switch it to Australia, you can still watch it here, so you don't need to purchase an additional streaming service.
There you go. Exactly. With just one tap of a button.
That's right. New series of Brooklyn Nine-Nine just went on there. There's a bunch of stuff going on.
Amazing. Yeah. I knew you'd be all over it.
I know things.
And here's the best part. It's not just for Netflix. You can use ExpressVPN to unlock shows on other streaming services too.
I know.
I like to use it to watch BBC iPlayer. It's free and only available in the UK.
That's absolute cracking app as well. There's so much good stuff on there.
Oh, yeah. It's so good. ExpressVPN is also super fast and works on your phone, laptop, even smart TV, so you can watch your shows on the big screen with zero buffering. That is so true. It is so fast.
Agreed.
So be smart, James.
I never, but I will
stop paying full price for streaming services and only getting access to a fraction of their content. Get your money's worth at expressvpn.com/suggestible. Don't forget to use my link so you can get 3 extra months free.
Can we say our link?
Fine. Our link, what's mine is yours, and what's yours is mine, including our ExpressVPN link,
which is,
can I get this out? Good Lord, the stones on this man. That's expressvpn.com/suggestible, expressvpn.com/suggestible to learn more. And now, on with the show.
On with the show.
Okay, my turn. Okay, so I have two things to talk about. I'm going to talk about, what will I talk about? This one first. So a wonderful pal of mine recommended an episode of Dax Shepard's Armchair Expert with Adam Grant. Mm-hmm. And I, as you know, I'm kind of hot and cold with his show. His friend Monica hosts it with him, and she's really great and excellent and
super smart.
I thought
he only did it by himself.
No. So, I mean, I think he generally does the bulk of the interviews, but she seems to be a producer as well in her own right, really clever. And they also kind of break down the interviews after the guest leaves, which I find really interesting.
Oh, that's interesting.
And they also talk about their own experiences and their own relationship because they're best friends. So Dax Shepard is married to Kristen Bell.
Yes.
But Monica's sort of seems to be his best friend, and they spend a lot of time together. She's sort of part of the family. So anyway, interesting on that note. But this particular episode is with an expert called Adam Grant. So Adam is an organizational psychologist, a professor at the Wharton School of the University of Pennsylvania, and a TED speaker. And he discusses how to open people's minds, the psychology of maximizing and satisfying, and the advantages of imposter syndrome, which I don't know whether I've made that sound very interesting, but he's such a charismatic, positive speaker and highly gifted in being able to really logically lay out people's thought patterns.
Right,
and he's highly scientific. So he gives you a lot of kind of information about why people behave the way they do and how we can change our patterns of behavior for the better. And he's written a book that's coming out soon, which I haven't read, but they talk about it on the show too. A couple of the takeaways from this podcast episode that I just loved was the idea of being humble and curious when it comes to talking to people.
Right.
And which sounds really simple, but so often people are either, you know, on kind of these massively polar opposites of an issue. And he talks about how in actuality, in most topics, things are complex and there's shades of grey everywhere.
Yeah, right.
And he also said studies have shown that the further right wing or left wing you get on an issue, the less intelligent you are.
I find really interesting
if you're very extreme on either side, whereas intelligent people tend to know what they don't know and constantly question themselves.
Right, okay.
Because the more that you understand about a particular area, the more you understand that you don't know much about it.
Sure.
Which I thought was a really interesting thing to think about. And so he said when it comes to thinking about issues or entering into an argument with someone, being humble and curious and asking questions when you don't understand something that someone's saying is kind of hard to do in the moment, and often we fake it, like we might nod our way through.
Yeah.
Whereas he did this experiment when he just would write in his phone. When someone started to bring up, like, for instance, he doesn't know anything about music and people would bring up, I don't know, Taylor Swift's latest album, have zero clue, zero idea. He had no idea that Ziggy Stardust was the same as David Bowie. Like, no idea. And that's cool.
That's not cool. You should know that.
No, but I am so guilty of this because I have very little trivia knowledge, really, of pop culture. Your brain is like an encyclopedia for all this stuff. But
of useless crap.
No, but it's not useless. Whereas my brain is like a Teflon surface. None of that kind of those facts stick easily. And so, yeah, he said he made a list and then he would of the things that he doesn't know about, and then he made an effort to ask more about it or go and Google it and just find out some information, rather than kind of doubling down and just ignoring that part of something because you don't know about
it. I think that's a good way to be. Yeah.
The other thing he talked about was that people can be fitted into two categories, maximizers and satisfiers. So I'm going to butcher this, and he obviously explains it much better in the podcast.
Well, let's get him on.
Yeah, we bloody should. Anyway, but I thought you would find this interesting.
Okay.
So a maximizer is someone that always wants to find the absolute best thing in whatever situation it's in, the best meal to order in the restaurant, the best house to buy on the market, the best, I don't know, even in relationships.
That's you. That's what you do.
I know,
do.
Well, this is why I find it's really interesting.
You're paralyzed by choice.
Yes, exactly. And so he talked about how when you're a maximizer, that can actually happen, that you end up less happy than people who are satisfiers. And satisfiers, because they're kind of happy with good enough.
Mm.
Like, I'm happy with this meal, even though someone else might have a better one, it doesn't stop me from enjoying the meal that I have.
Yes.
And I'm grateful for this particular thing and that'll do, you know?
Yeah, absolutely.
That kind of idea.
I guess you can also be, like, depending on what it is, because there's some things where I know you're like, yeah, whatever, and other things you're like, get this right. This is important.
Yeah.
I want to order the right thing at the cafe that I go to 3 days a week.
Yeah, exactly.
What should I order? Just get the same thing.
I know. And then I get so sad if I order the wrong thing.
Or you'll run up and change.
I will.
You're like, do you think it's too late to change?
No, they just left.
You can change.
Oh, annoying. I'm so annoying. But that's because I always want to get like the perfect thing.
Yeah.
And I just thought that was a really interesting way to think about it, because he said satisfiers, just tend to be overall happier in life.
Yeah.
Because they're less worried about what they're missing out on and happy to enjoy what's in front of them.
Right.
And he said it can also be applied to relationships. Maximizers can spend their whole life thinking, but what if there's someone better out there or something like that, which is not me, by the way.
Well, wait a minute.
Because I found the perfect one.
Well, that's the thing, though. If you do find the perfect thing, are they then happy?
Yeah, well, that's the thing. Like I find in my experience, yes, the deep satisfaction that I get when I find the thing that I love.
Yeah. Then why are you on all these different dating apps? What's that about?
He's just fun. So obviously with all of this stuff, he's a psychologist and he delves into all the research of this stuff, but obviously people are individuals and all of those things. But, yeah, I thought that was interesting, whereas satisfiers kind of have a more of an attitude to relationships that you actually build them and you make that person the perfect, well, not perfect relationship, but you make that relationship work for you
for each other. Yeah, yeah, gotcha.
Which I actually think in relationships, I think that that's
I think that's how you should enter a relationship.
Right.
People aren't whole, not even that.
People
evolve and you grow together, or you should, or try to at least.
Yeah, and it's not about...
Or get divorced, whatever, doesn't matter.
What do you want? Yeah, I just kind of like that idea about growing together and being that perfect partner for the other person and understanding that no one is perfect.
No.
But that you're building something together.
Yes.
In that life that you're creating, and you're trying to be that person for the other. Anyway, it was just a really fascinating conversation, because he also talks a lot about right and left-wing extremism and how we need to get back to understanding that issues are always complex with a whole lot of different sides to them.
Yes, sure.
And that if we don't look at those shades of grey and the complexity in things, we're really going to end up in just the scariest point, place, which we kind of already are, really. And Dax Shepherd actually says he finds that the scariest thing, that people are so in their bubbles, we're not hearing each other.
Mm.
And so the notion of like rigorous academic thought and science and all of that stuff is just not there. So in the same way.
I think also people use sometimes academic thought in like bad faith arguments of like they'll give an example of somebody. I'm like, oh no, this is a terrible person that you're citing here.
Yeah.
And but no, I see what you mean. I know. Yeah, I know.
Yeah, it's just more that on any given issue,
of course, there's
so
nuance,
many different sides and nuance. And it's just I like that idea of trying to stay open and humble and curious rather than immediately defensive.
Yeah, sure.
Which is really difficult to do, and it depends on what the issue is, obviously, and your own life experiences and all the things. Anyway.
But keep politics out of video games. That's what I always say, and comics.
Correct. Anyway, so, yeah, Dax Shepherd's Armchair Expert with Adam Grant.
Yes.
Over to you, Sunny Pop.
I think politics should be in everything, and it is actually. That's what I think, for real though.
Yeah, well, we can't help but be. Every office has politics.
Do you know how many comments I get that, like, Star Wars doesn't have to get political? Fucking newsflash. It is. It's always been political. The first one is literally about the Vietnam War. But whatever. Whatever. Now I'm going to get emails, though, where people are like, well, actually, take this. Shut up. I don't want your fucking emails. Shut up. All right.
Please email the show.
No. Yeah, email Claire. Don't email me. I get enough comments.
All right. Off he goes. He's so angry. Here we go. I'm so excited to tell you my next thing. Because
the Ewoks are Vietnamese, Claire. Right. And the Empire, in that case, is like the military-industrial complex. And it shows that what happens when a small band of fighting force goes up against a seemingly unstoppable foe. It's Vietnam War, Claire.
Okay.
And the prequel trilogy. Okay. That was more about... That evolved into George Bush's
in the
Iraq War.
My nose. Is anyone else out there? His partner just obsessed with this stuff, and they
and the sequel trilogy is more about like it's more about like neo-Nazism and sort of, but it's kind of it muddles the story a little bit towards the end there. Anyway, I want to talk about New Amsterdam, a show that has just come to Netflix. It's created by David Schulner, and it's based on the book 12 Patients, Life and Death at Bellevue Hospital, and inspired by Bellevue Hospital in New York City, which is actually the oldest public hospital in the U.S. It stars Ryan Eggold, Freeman Agumon, Janet Montgomery, Jocko Sims, and it's a hospital drama, say. But you might be like, I think it's in the style of like Grey's Anatomy, but it's a bit, it's like a level down from the like the drama that you'll see in a show like that. You know what I mean? It's not like I've been shot and the person who shot me is also my husband and I'm pregnant with a horse or whatever happens in that show. I haven't watched it in a very long time, but it's still going for some reason. I guess people like it. So it starts with this public hospital, and they get a new head of the hospital. The hospital, the big doctor, they call him. And that's Big the official Doc. Term.
McDreamy?
No, well, it's a bit like that. But he comes in and he's like, and he just comes in and immediately shakes it up. And he's like, okay, so basically I want to do the things that you think will make this hospital better, he tells his staff. And nobody's putting their hands up. And he goes, okay, who's in the surgical, who's the surgeon here or whatever? And they put their hands up and he's like, you're all fired, get the fuck out. Because they've been overbilling their patients and basically just churning the people through. And so then, and from there he's like, what else? And people are like, can we get... you know, waiting times down, can we get healthy food in the cafeteria? He's like, sure, whatever. And so he's basically just going through and kind of systematically dismantling all the things that are wrong with it and trying to build it up in a different way before he gets fired, or trying to walk the line in that. And it deals with a lot of like social issues and obviously things to do with the healthcare system the world over, but like more specifically the US, because often, you know, a lot of bankruptcy in the US is caused by medical debt, which is insanity, yeah, if you look into it. But it basically, it's this team kind of on a limited budget with limited resources trying to make the best of it and trying to work this system in a way that benefits people without like killing them essentially or sending them away. But yeah, and spoiler alert, and this is revealed in the first episode, but he's sick. He's got a form of cancer. So he's kind of like, he's running against the clock, and he's just like, and he's got home problems, and which is all, which everybody seems to has in the show. And I mean, everybody's got their own thing going on, but it's not just medical doctors. It's got like psychiatrists, and it looks at like the janitorial staff and the admins, and it kind of covers like the whole thing in a way that's like, and it's a drama, you know what I mean? So it's like this person's sleeping with this person or whatever, like that stuff like that happens, but it's mostly about like the people that come in and how that comes together. Anyway, it's on Netflix. It's kind of a thing that I wouldn't normally watch, but I just saw it and I'm like, yeah, give this a go.
And you're enjoying
good.
It.
Pretty good.
It's pretty good. All right. That sounds something like I would watch.
You would watch it. It's good. No, you should watch
that. That reminded me of Elizabeth Warren on Jimmy Fallon having this amazing discussion about medical debt and all of the problems with taxation in the US and all the things. She's horrible. Just wonderful. Yeah. She just has this real gift, because she's a university professor, of explaining the way money works over there, and particularly problems with the healthcare system.
I have a gift of explaining the movie Raya and the Last Dragon. And there's a dragon and there's a crystal, and the crystal is bright, and there's kingdoms, and the kingdoms, but they need to bring the kingdoms together.
Flash of memory. When we first started dating and you would tell me things about movies, and I would just sit there in awe, just like nodding along.
In awe, or you're like,
he knows so much about movies. And now I'm like,
yeah. You're probably like, he's so knowledgeable. What else does he know? Nothing. Literally nothing.
You know plenty. You know how many calories are in things for his weighing stuff.
You got to look at the back of the thing, Claire.
You totally do.
I should do my
you
oats
to teach
recipe.
Kids.
Yeah, I used to. Yeah. I'm going to be doing some classroom work in our, which you did today in our son's classroom. We'll see how that goes.
It was
I'm a bit rusty.
Yeah, it was really fun. I had a great time.
So I was kind of a mean teacher, not like intentionally, but so I got to cut it. I realized for younger kids, you really got to pare that back.
Yeah, they really don't cope so well.
No.
They did clippy-cloppy like little stilts today.
Oh, yeah.
It was super cute. It was really fun. Nice. Anyway, okay, my next recommendation is, wait for it, surfing.
Oh, man, surfing.
Because a couple of weeks ago, I took my good self with my good friend Kate surfing.
Yes, you did.
And now, just before you think, oh my goodness, I didn't realize Claire was a surfer, babe.
Nobody
hanging out there.
That. Nobody thought
hanging that. 10, like running through the sand, doing cartwheels. That's what the surfers do.
Is that what surfing
smoking
is?
Smoking pot behind the sheds.
Did you do any
driving
actual
their
surf?
Combi vans.
Did you get in the water, or did you just run up and down the beach?
What else do they do? Light fires. On the beach.
Oh, my goodness.
Talk to the chickies.
Does a beach bully come up and he's like, what's going on, babe? And you're like, actually, I'm taken. And he's like kicking sand in people's faces. It's one of those guys.
I did see that guy. No, so what I really wanted to recommend at the heart of this was doing stuff that you're not very good at and having a go and how good it is. And I know, because obviously the privilege of being able to go surfing at the beach is not lost on me at all, particularly people who are in lockdown at the moment.
You're out of touch
the end
with the
of
common
summer.
Man.
I know. It's the end of summer in Australia and we've finally been allowed out. And I felt so lucky anyway. So we went and hired these giant foam boards. And I'll tell the rest of the story in my newsletter, Tons, which comes out every Friday. So I've got a little story about what happened. There's a funny little story about a bloke called Bruce who we encountered and a few other things. So you can sign up in the link below. And it comes out every Friday morning. So anyway, all I really wanted to say was that I am a terrible surfer and I bloody loved it. And I think it's so good for us to just get out of our comfort zone and try something different, especially at the moment, especially if it's something physical and outdoors and outside.
Totally, yeah.
Like even, I don't know, What did Samuel Johnson, the Australian actor, do? Learn to ride a unicycle.
Mm.
I don't know. Just stuff, especially as adults. I think as kids we're just constantly being put in situations where we have to learn and like trust ourselves and figure things out. And as adults we kind of stop doing that and watch more Netflix.
That's what I love about being an adult.
Or sit on our phone for a while.
Oh, my God, I love it. The dream.
Anywho, so it was just the best. So I know you hate surfing, but I love it. I'm so bad. I got so much water up my nose. Oh, my God. At one point I was like, do I need to take myself to the hospital because I put so much seawater up my nose.
Do you reckon it was touching your brain?
Yeah, I felt like
that. You're pickling your brain in seawater?
Lucky I'm not a medical professional. Mm. See, there you go. You know about brain pickling.
Why?
Anywho, that was that.
You know what I did know about when you die? When you die, right, and you go to the morgue, and then, you know, so, you know, when you see a dead body, the eyes are closed, when they've been embalmed and done everything, the eyes are closed, because what they do, they put in contacts with have little barbs on the outside that keeps your eyelids shut.
Oh, that's awful. Why did you tell me that? That's so awful.
So just in case you were worried that when I die, my eyes spring open, I'm going to have one eye open. You come in, I'm going to be like, look at you with one eye.
You would put that in your will. You wanted to booby trap your grave, so you'd spring out on people at the funeral.
And I wanted to create like this false like story about how I was buried with all my treasures. I'll say Bitcoin. That's what I'll say. I'll say I was buried with all my Bitcoin your units. Yeah, and then people will go, "Oh, I'm gonna dig this guy up," and then I my lurch out of the grave with one eye open. Blah.
Look, I'll do that for you.
I'd love that.
But you're not allowed to die. I'm just letting you know.
Just kick me
into
a river. I don't give a shit. All right, we got some.
We have some fun things, but we have one more thing to talk about.
What else we got to talk about?
We got to talk about Planet Broadcasting.
Oh my goodness! Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Yes. So
I haven't announced this on the Weekly Planet yet, so this is.
I know it's
this is new news, but you're going to come on and talk about that as well.
I am on Sunday. I'm going to come on. I haven't been on the old planet
for ages. You've done a few.
That's not the same.
You've done some cameos, don't get me wrong. People know you're out and about.
Yeah, I tend to slam doors and do a few bits of bobs.
It's true.
But generally I haven't been for a while. So
anyway,
I thought we'd just like mention it briefly.
Yeah.
So I have been thinking for a while that I wanted to do some of my own creative stuff. Mm. And I haven't had the time because I've been working on on Planet Broadcasting. Mm. And we've decided now that we partner with Acast and they're so wonderful, that the external podcasts like Do Go On and Don't You Know Who I Am and Book Cheat and Auntie Donna and all those fantastic shows. Mm. Batch Bitch, all of those ones, Beacon M's, Comedy Gems, all of those shows, we no longer need to, I guess,
time to
have
die.
Them.
Oh, I missed that. When is it going to come back? It doesn't matter. Yeah,
it is a really good show. Yeah. But they no longer really need us in the same way because Acast is there to support them.
Yes.
And so we've decided to sort of change Planet Broadcasting to just be shows that we make in-house. And we're going to be changing up the website and kind of amalgamating our subscription service Big Sandwich and doing some exciting things behind the scenes.
We're also not paywalling anything.
Oh, no, we won't be changing anything. Yeah, everything.
Any more stuff than we're already
doing. Yeah, exactly. And it won't really change anything from a listener perspective if you listen to any of our other shows. They'll also be available in exactly the same way, so nothing will change.
However you listen to them, they will still be there. They've always been creator-owned and driven, so we don't own any of them. So they just continue to exist
as long as they want to. Exactly, and we support all of them, absolutely. So also the Planet Broadcasting Facebook group, Great Mates, will still exist in exactly the same way, and they'll still all be able to post and chat, and still all the hosts will still be in there when they want to be, all of those things. So,
but if you mention Dugo, I swear to God, you're blocked. You're blocked.
Oh, we love those guys. So in a way I'm sad because it's an end of an era. We've been doing this for almost five years now. Because when we started
there were no like ad platforms or anything like that.
No, and no way of really helping podcasts to kind of connect with each other and get their sort of content out. Yeah. And so it was an idea really that started from me, and then we kind of talked about it with Mason and with you and it's been such a ride, and I've learned so much, and I think we all have really loved it.
I think also like because it still involves a lot of work on your behalf, and also Collings does a lot of stuff like updating the website and newsletter and all these other things.
He works tirelessly,
a bunch of stuff on that, and I just think it. I think for you in particular though, you need more time to do kind of your own stuff, and I think it's
And also for Collings too, because that bloke is very creative, our wonderful editor.
Yeah.
And we want him to have more time to be able to do some of his own sort of creative
editing. Or just do nothing, editing. Just watch or some chill. Netflix.
I know, because that guy works around the clock. Anyway, so we've made the decision and everyone is still great mates and the Facebook group is still the same, but there will be some interesting changes coming up on the website over the next few months. So stay tuned for those.
What specifically? We don't know.
We don't know. We're still trying to figure that out. It takes a while to rejig a website. Our first website took months to build.
Yeah.
And then we built another website. So this is kind of be the third iteration of Planet Broadcasting.
But again, like,
time to grow and change.
Regular stuff, everything that's behind the big sandwich thing, which some people have signed up for with a bunch of bonus podcasts.
Oh, that will stay.
That's all there. But like, we're not putting anything else that we, anything that's free was not behind there. We're not changing any of that.
Yeah, so we're not changing any of that at all. It'll all stay the same.
Yep.
It's more just the podcasts that are creator-owned externally.
And we're still guesting and stuff and all those. Because Mason's doing he's going to be in, there's a Primates Melbourne show, which he's doing in like a few weeks from now. So there'll still be stuff like that happening.
Oh, hopefully. Yeah. We're still all in Melbourne. We're still going to be guesting and everything. Yeah. It's more just that the website will be looking very different.
Yeah. And Mark's coming back to talk about Mortal Kombat, hopefully.
Oh, cool. Oh, yeah. He's great. There you go. Yeah. So we're all still, you know, friends and all the things, but I think it's time to change things up a little bit. Yeah. So I'm excited. I'm a little sad.
Yeah, it is a little bit sad, but, you know, none of these people are collapsing, which is good.
No, they're not. Not at all. And Acast are great and are really great supporters of all the shows. So I've worked myself out of a job, really.
Yeah.
And I'm quite happy with that.
Well done.
Because when we started, there was no one that could do the job.
More
that
time
I was
for
doing.
Netflix.
Correct. Exactly. More time for frolicking about in meadows, smelling the flowers.
Have we got some? Have we got some things that you can listen to though, Claire? Do we have an email this week, an audio
We certainly
email?
Do have an email, but not an audio one.
Oh, so I don't
know. I know you love listening.
I love listening to
I know,
things.
But this one's not an audio one. So I'm going to read you one from Tim Wallace.
Oh, like an audio email.
It's an email. If you have a recommendation, you can write to the show at stressfulpod@gmail.com. We would love you to, just like Tim from California has.
Surf's up, Tim.
I just recently started your podcast episode on Promising Young Woman, and while I haven't finished listening to it because I took your advice and wanted to watch the movie first, I did want to say that I thoroughly enjoyed your banter as husband and wife and the stories you told about your son and his adventures, or supposed lack thereof, at school. James's humour with your son makes me laugh out loud constantly, and Claire's caring and motherly fun disposition reminds me of the kids I work with and all the fun I try to have, but inevitably get nothing out of. I work with kids affected by autism for my job in playful learning environments. I can't begin to tell you how many times I've been met with blank faces and discussions about Mario when I ask them about school. All of that considered, I just wanted to send a message saying how happy the stories make me, and they certainly are welcome in the future. P.S. Don't forget the big sandwich. And Claire, make sure you're buying real Transformers.
That's so true. Can't get in these knockoff Transformers. There are some good ones, but the quality often dips when you get into the third hand.
The $2 shops, which is where I've been buying some from. Correct. Thanks, Tim. You're spot on. And that's the email for this week.
There was a moment, I think, I don't know, you weren't there, where Mason and I were talking about you bought like a Transmorpher or whatever. Like it was like Trainmaster or something.
Oh yeah, well, that was terrible.
That was a terrible one. And Mason, we brought it up and she's like, what? He's like, why did she buy that? And I'm like, mums don't know. And he's like, yeah, you're right, mums don't know.
What?
About specifically Transformers.
Well, yeah, I don't
if
know.
If one of us is going to know, I don't.
Some mums know about Transformers. I just happen to not know about Transformers. Hashtag not all mums, just this mum. So I don't give a shit.
It's a about long hashtag. Wow. Hashtag not all mums except this mum don't know about Transformers because I don't give a shit.
No, I do. You know what? To be fair, I don't like the movies, but I actually think Transformers are really cool.
They are.
As a toy, I think they're really
concept.
Awesome.
And one okay movie followed by 100 terrible movies in a row.
I think I fell asleep in a couple of action sequences.
You only saw the second one. That's the only one you've seen.
Oh, right. Yeah. Okay. Well, yeah, I fell asleep in that action sequence. It was bad. Oh, no. While I tell you that, do you know what I got an email from? Phyllis Online Bureau, which sells the best wig collections.
Oh my goodness, send that my way.
I know, I haven't been looking up wigs. Why did I get that email? I don't even know. They're
like
pretty good wigs though. Like if I wanted a wig.
Believe me, quality wigs are hard to come by. I know when I bought one
what do you
that
think?
Tom.
I think this one would look really good on you. It would
that
cover
would look
your
good
gray
on,
hair. It's
that
a
would
black
cover my
wig.
Look,
with
that's
a
like
fringe.
A Uma Thurman Pulp Fiction kind of look.
Yeah.
Going on there, yeah.
You could carry that off.
I think I agree with you.
Great. All right. Are we ready? Are we done? Yeah. We've been Stressful Pod. Thank you so much to colleagues for editing the show. And we will be back next week.
All right. Goodbye, everybody.
Bye. Till next week.
Till next week.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.